I believe that God has sent us a man this morning that's also going to talk to us about the journey that we're on. So would you give my friend and your friend, Mr. Michael Muccio, a great big hand as he comes this morning. Amen.
Hey there. Am I on? Good. You know, I was thinking as Pastor was exhorting us this morning, the importance of words. He used words to put everything in perspective concerning finances. Then he used words to put everything in perspective concerning what we're after, what we're seeking. First, the kingdom of God. I'm not an entertainer. Thank God for that. And years ago, when I was in the nightclub business, people would stand up as the entertainers that we had there, and they would speak out words, and they would sing out words, and those words would do something to the crowd. Then later on, I meet Zig Ziglar. And the first time I met Zig, it was after I read his book, and I went over to Dallas because I was 45 minutes away from where I was living in Arlington. And I didn't hear him in a speech behind a podium. He was sitting behind his desk, and he started talking to me about Jesus. And he asked if I knew I was going to go to heaven when I died. No, I didn't. And he said, well, and he held up his Bible, Michael, this book was written that you may know that you have eternal life. Ziglar gave words to me. He gave me words that he couldn't get rid of. And I went back and he gave me his Christian testimony on tape, and I listened to it, but I still didn't understand. I didn't get it, how to make the commitment, but I did get one thing. I got one thing, that this book would give me words where I could know that I would have eternal life. Then when I started to hear him speak, I was amazed how this guy could stand up behind a podium. I'd never been exposed to anything like that as a little Catholic boy raised up. I mean, they had a homily in that, but it wasn't. But Zig would deliver words, and people would walk out of those seminars, and they would be ready to start a business. They would be ready to increase their productivity. They would be ready to love their mate more than ever. They would be ready to be a better parent. They were excited about life, and he put enough commercials about the Lord in there that they would be starting to investigate spiritual things just by giving words. And I'd sit out there and listen. I said, I want to do that. When I want to give people words that will change their life. So by the grace of God, Father, I thank you today that your word is alive, it's living, and I ask you to speak words through me. Jesus, you are living your life through me this day. Minister through this vessel of clay. Let it be your life that springs forth within each person. In your holy name, in the name of Jesus, amen. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Yeah, you might want this. Ephesians chapter 3. And then if you get there quickly, you can also look, put a marker in Luke 24 and Acts 1. But in Ephesians chapter 3, this is a prayer that I have prayed thousands of times. It's one of Paul's apostolic prayers. It's a prayer that's already anointed. It's already been prayed. It's already been delivered to the body of Christ. Thousands of us have discovered it and have prayed it over and over and over again. And I'm going to begin in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. The word might is dunamai. Strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able, dunameno, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, dunamen, that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now I'm going to give you a very brief commentary on this prayer that I prayed, as I say, many times. So I've meditated on it. So you can listen back later and jot it down and then add your little portion of it, because God speaks to each of us and gives us all our own unique twist as he speaks to us through his word. But in this prayer, what part of what it means to me is, Father, you created everyone in heaven and earth. Grant me, according to the enormous riches of your glory, to be progressively strengthened with might, causing more of a manifestation daily by your Holy Spirit within my born-again spirit, that Christ may dwell in my heart. That word is cardia, my feelings. That Christ may dwell in my feelings just like he already lives in my spirit. I choose to believe and have faith in Christ living through every fiber of my being. I choose to believe I'm rooted and grounded, spirit, soul, and body, in the very love that God is. That you would renew my mind, causing me to comprehend the phenomenal magnitude of your love. To really know that your love surpasses my intellect, my logic, and my reasoning faculties, causing me to tap into the very fullness of God. Unto you, Father, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond anything I can muster up to ask you for or even think about. All according to the power that works and is released by me. Now, this is a phrase, this last phrase in this prayer, that has got me meditating on. All of this beautiful prayer in which we can experience the love of God, which passes knowledge, goes beyond our intellect, goes beyond our finite mind, goes beyond our logic and our reasoning faculties. And that God wants us to get out there in that portion of love that's beyond anything we can think. And then he ends the prayer, but it is according to the power that worketh in us. And the word power is dunamen. Now, three times in this prayer, Paul uses a different form of the word, the Greek word dunamis. Now, I don't claim to be a Greek scholar, but I did take Greek several semesters when I was a student at Oral Roberts University. And in fact, my spiritual advisor was Dr. Jerry Horner, who read the New Testament in Greek. And he would start off class praying in the Spirit. He'd just walk into the class, he'd be praying, and we'd pray in the Spirit sometimes 5-10 minutes before we'd even open up, start studying the Greek. One of the books that we studied was 1 Corinthians, the whole book of 1 Corinthians, verse by verse. So I'm comfortable enough with it that I'm aware of it. But I didn't know until a few years back, when I began to get this revelation that I talked about last time I was here, about the miracle exchange of what does it mean to be crucified with Christ, where we the part of us that is full of ego, it dies, and the part that is that lets Jesus live his life through us lives and reigns. I started to see some of these prayers differently, and God, the Holy Spirit, riveted me to this according to the power that worketh in me. So, and if the word is dunamen, now if you made it to Luke chapter 24, let's look at that verse. Three forms of the word dunamis is used. Now, where else is this word used? The specific word dunamen is the accusative singular feminine, which doesn't mean anything other than to say it's from this root noun, dunamis, which means power, might, ability, and force. So evidently, there's all of this prayer that we just prayed is according to the power, might, and ability, and force released through me. All right, let's look at Luke 24. 24:49, it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you," Jesus is speaking, "but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Same exact grammatical form that is used back there according to the power that worketh in me in Ephesians 3:20. Dunamen. Now, in Acts 1:8, let's look at that verse. "But you shall receive power," dunamen, "after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So, Jesus said, go, in Luke 24, he said, "Go and wait in the city of Jerusalem until I send this power, this dunamen from on high." And then in Acts chapter 1, he's talking about you shall receive dunamen after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So he told his disciples to stay and wait. They were waiting for this dunamen on high. Now, what happened when dunamen arrived? How did it manifest? Anybody? That's right. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues. So we can receive the same Holy Spirit that Peter, James, John, Mary, and the other 120 received in the upper room, right? Now, did they get more dunamen than we did? We all got the same amount of dunamen, right? But yet in Ephesians 3:20, it says, "according to the dunamen that worketh in us." So evidently, we start with the same dunamen, and then we determine how much of that dunamen works in us. Well, how do you suppose we determine how much of that dunamen works in us? If when the dunamen came, they all spoke with other tongues. Yeah. You know what's coming. Do you suppose the amount of time and moments that an individual chooses to surrender their speech to allow God to speak words, like Zig Ziglar spoke words, and through those words I was able to get saved, like Pastor spoke words to us a few moments ago to exhort us and encourage us in a couple of different areas, that God wants to speak words through me. Now, can you imagine the difference, as anointed as Pastor is, as anointed as Zig is, but can you imagine when God speaks words through your voice, what that might mean in you and in the earth? This is good stuff. Now, in Galatians 2:20, I mentioned this last time, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me." Two eyes in that verse, one eye dies and the other eye lives on. Do you suppose that the eye that God wants to die, that this eye is not very interested in speaking and letting dunamen flow out of it? Do you suppose that the eye that is supposed to live on just loves for dunamen to flow out of it, to pray in the Spirit, to speak with other tongues? Now, in fact, one of those eyes will make every excuse in the book to not pray in the Spirit. And the other eye is just thrilled and delights in praying in the Spirit, even to the point of praying without ceasing. Praying in the Spirit is an act of humility, because you're making a statement that you value going beyond your finite mind, beyond your intellect and your reasoning and your logic, to increase the working of dunamen in your life, to increase your ability to pass beyond, as Ephesians 3 says, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love and able to go to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. To the degree that you allow dunamin to come out of you is to the degree that you go beyond, that you experience this love that passes knowledge. Isn't that cool? Now, it's particularly interesting when you consider that the very act of praying in the Spirit is the act of going beyond the intellect and the reasoning and the logic to allow this supernatural, infinite ability to speak out mysteries. And it's not a mystery to God, of course. Nothing's a mystery to Him, but it's a mystery to us. But we can speak out these mysteries and get beyond our intellect. Well, can you see the connection? When we allow that kind of dunamin to flow out of us, it gets us beyond our intellect so that then we can experience love that surpasses knowledge. The two are intertwined. I didn't see that for years. Now, probably others maybe saw it, recognized it. I just didn't get it. I knew that praying in the Spirit was something that when it happens, it gives you power to be a witness. It gives you power to lay hands on the sick and where miracles and signs and wonders. But I didn't see the incredible connection that praying in the Spirit had to love until I got the revelation of what it means to be crucified with Christ. Now, let's take a few examples of this. God is love. Agape love doesn't always have to make intellectual sense. You don't love a person because they make sense. You love them because they're a representative of Jesus in disguise many times. Now, I'm called to make the leap beyond the realm of reasoning, and the Holy Spirit has gifted me to do that very thing. For example, the Word instructs a man to love his wife as Christ loves the church, and women are to honor and respect their husbands as they honor and respect Christ. So we're to function as if our mate is Christ in disguise. Sometimes that disguise seems illogical, unreasonable, beyond intellectual sanity. You want to know what makes your mate tick? Well, you're not going to get there in the world of logic. You think you're going to persuade your mate to see everything your way? You get in one of those tit-for-tat arguments of your so-called superior knowledge, and you might as well just shut up and start singing the Star-Spangled Banner, because it's going to make about the same amount of sense. There's a love that goes beyond the he said, she said, I've got a better way, chatter and noise, when you're able to see Jesus disguised as an illogical piece of holy sandpaper in your life that might rub you the wrong way, but that wrong way is working in you an eternal weight of glory, working in you this agape love which passes knowledge, goes beyond knowledge. Agape love is something that God wants to infiltrate your brain, your heart, your physical heart. When I say heart, I don't mean spirit. If I say spirit, I'll say spirit. I think Paul is an intelligent man. If he meant to say spirit in the word, he would say pneuma, which is the word for it. If he wanted to say heart, he would say the word cardia. If he wanted to say mind, he would say nous or dionia or one of the words related to that. This apostolic prayer tells us to pray that we will enter into a revelation and lifestyle of the God kind of love that surpasses logic, reasoning, and intellect. And furthermore, the power to do this is according to the dunamin that we release. And the very nature of dunamin is that it surpasses the finite, logical, reasoning, intellectual prayers of a man's mind. When I see you and hear you, I see and hear Jesus in disguise. Not only is God in me, God is in you. And God is in everybody. Everywhere you go, every human being you see on this planet, God is into people. And when you see people and you come in contact with them, to the degree that you and I can remember, I'm talking to Jesus in disguise. This is how Mother Teresa was able to do what she did year in and year out, the longevity and persistence of her caring for the poorest of the poor. It was because she saw everybody as Jesus in disguise. And do you know that she was very much caught up in what it meant to be crucified with Christ? She had certain professions where she would keep herself reminded every day that Jesus was living his life through her, and she was to stay out of the way and see everyone as Jesus in disguise. Sometimes it was disguised as terrible sickness and maimed limbs and open sores. Sometimes it was harsh and mean-spirited words, persecution of all, but it was still Jesus in disguise. He loves people. God so loved the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I want this prayer. I want this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. My goodness, that Christ, that I would be rooted and grounded in love, able to comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know this love that passes knowledge. Well, here is a verse that I didn't see once again until I got the revelation of what it means to be crucified with Christ. It's amazing that pastors can be so dumb, but I certainly was for so long. Now, you know, and I don't mean to be unkind to myself, because God's so wonderful that he can still use us in our limited awareness of how great he really is and how great his word is. He can still use us to do wonderful things. But you can take a look at Jude 20. Let's look at this verse, because I think it's good for you to see it. I didn't notice verse Jude 21 in the King James. But one day after I began to get the revelation of what it meant to be crucified with Christ, I felt like the Holy Spirit had me go pick up my Young's literal translation of the Bible. Now, there's Strong's Concordance and there's a Young's Concordance. And in Young's literal translation, what he did is he translated the Greek words, and he translated them as if you translated the words in English just as they were written in the Greek. So sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense in the English language, but it's laid out right there. And the purpose of it is just for the purpose of the core Greek, as it's meant to be a study Bible. Well, you've got it there. You're open there in the King James. I'm going to read it in Young's literal translation. So you can kind of glance at yours, but listen to how he says it. And ye, beloved, on your most holy faith, building yourselves up in the Holy Spirit, praying yourselves in the love of God, keep ye, waiting for the kindness of our Lord Jesus to life age during. Now I'm going to read it in the Message. I love that. I think Eugene Peterson's done a great job with his paraphrase. In the Message, it says this. But you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love, keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ. This is the unending life, the real life. Now think about, in Romans 5:5, it says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. When I pray in the Spirit, I build myself up on my most holy faith, I keep myself in the love of God, and I'm releasing dunamis, which enables me to enter into a love that passes knowledge. Can we see a theme here? God is up to something, and it's a very closely tied to the Holy Spirit and us allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us if we're going to come into a consistency of living life in a way that passes beyond knowledge. Now, knowledge is great, but knowledge is so very limited compared to the unlimited knowingness, all-knowingness, the omniscience, the omnipotence of the omnipresence of God. And if I can get myself in a position where God is flowing through me, wow, that's what I want. Anybody else with me? Now, Now, this what I'm sharing with you this morning is going on. When I wrote the book, The Miracle Exchange, I was explaining what does it mean to be crucified with Christ, and how do we, who is it that dies and who is it that lives, and I explain all that in the book, and then how do we let Christ, Colossians says, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Well, who's dead and who's living with Christ in God? So I explain all that out. But when I wrote the book and I handed it in to the publisher, I didn't know it was 967 pages. I thought it was 380 pages because in my software, that's how it appeared to be. But when you would put it in book form, it was going to be a 967-page book. Well, not very many people are going to read a 967-page book. So I went whining to the Lord, said, Lord, you know how long of a book I was writing. Why did you let me write such a long book? And he said, the book's for you. You're going to have a lot of people ask you questions. That'll enable you to be able to dialogue, answer their questions, but now you're going to impart on writing what's going to go to the people. So we had to break it up into three different expressions at least. And there's one expression that has not been completed yet, and that's the role of the Holy Spirit in praying in tongues. In the Miracle Exchange, I don't touch on that because I didn't have adequate time to really fully introduce the topic. And I didn't want to introduce it and not do it in a convincing manner, laying it out where people that were not filled with the Spirit would be highly motivated to pursue that as an ambition. Are you following track with me? So what I'm sharing with you today is from what's going to come in the next book about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in a person allowing Christ to live his life through him and being crucified with Christ. So I'm going to tell you some stories of how I experienced it. Now, years ago, I was praying in the Spirit, just minding my own business in my home. And just part of what we do on a daily basis, we just pray with our devotional tongues, praying in the Spirit. I was praying in the Spirit, and I saw a little vision, a picture, an image, call it what you want. But it was like a sharp object sticking out of an eye. It was not a pretty scene. It was all bloody. It was, it was clear that God was showing me something in which he wanted me to pray and alleviate and keep it from happening, whatever it was going to be. I don't know if it was somebody in my congregation. I don't know if it was a family. I didn't know what it was. But I prayed it through, and God gave me more of an intercessory tongue. That's a little different than devotional tongues that just build ourselves up. Then it transitioned, and I just prayed hard and fast in other tongues until I had a note of victory. Now, you know what that means, right? You pray something out of you until you either laugh in the Spirit or you just have that knowing that it's done. And I had that knowing that it was done. Well, a few months later, we're packing up some boxes in our home. My son's like 4 or 5 years old. And I'm in another room, and I had been working with a screwdriver, and it was laying out. My son had played with screwdrivers before. He knew what they were and so forth, and so it wasn't a big deal, but he picked up the screwdriver and found a little styrofoam cup and was taking the screwdriver and poking the screwdriver through the end of the styrofoam cup. Now, when you're 4 years old, that's a big deal. And you could take that screwdriver, and you yourself as a four-year-old can put that screwdriver through that cup and boom! It pops out the other side. That's a big deal, man. And you're doing that, too. You're the four-year-old that's making that happen. And so, and if you're going to do that, and it's a scientific experiment, which my little kids are little scientists, well, you got to get a good close look at it. You got to look at the thrust of that screwdriver coming through the cup, right? You know what's coming. So, and I'm laughing about it, so you know it's going to have a decent ending, right? He puts that screwdriver through the cup, and gets it and hits his eye, but it just grazes his eye. He cries for a minute and then continues playing. The event happened, but the Holy Ghost, with his incredible love, showed me an image, showed me a picture of something that I could change just by now. Can you, that to me, that kind of love, I want every Christian to experience that kind of love where God will come along and show you something in advance. The Holy Ghost, in John 16, 13, the Holy Ghost leads us into all truth and shows us things to come. He wants to do that. So many crises and tragedies happen to us, and many of them, God wanted to keep them from happening. It's the love of God, in manifestation. So he cries for a few minutes, and he's there's no problem after that. Now, weeks earlier, I had been had another time. Now, by the way, I can laugh about that now, but when you stop and think about that, I shudder to think what it would be like. My son's got his own business in Sarasota now. He's got his little grandbaby, another one on the way. Just a wonderful representative, leaves worship in his church. I think about, you know, in this picture that I had seen, I mean, this person's eye was damaged for life. I mean, it, to the point where it looked like they wouldn't have that eye again. I think of what it would have been like had the Holy Ghost not gotten through to me. What would I've ever, would I have picked up on something like that had I not been able to experience allowing the dunamis to flow out of me? I don't know. All I know is what happened. To think that a gift like that from God would be able to spare a crisis. I think about my dear friend, Gary and Sue Carpenter. And I think about him, thanks to Dave Roberson, getting a revelation that praying in the Spirit could be more than just being baptized in the Holy Spirit and being able to have more power to lay hands on the sick and so forth, that there was something more to praying in the Spirit. So he's driving a truck, and he turns the cab of his truck into his sanctuary, where it was his trigger, that when he got into his truck, that triggered him to start praying in the Spirit. 8, 10, 12 hours a day praying in the Spirit. And a year and a half later, an international ministry's birthed that helped thousands. Now someday, you stop and think about it, someday we're liable to get to heaven, and God's liable to point over to Gary and Sue Carpenter and say, this is an example of how a ministry is birthed in the earth. Isn't that great? That's all something that you and I can do at any time. We can let words flow out of us. If we let God's words flow out of us supernaturally, then we'll have words for human beings. When we're walking in a Walmart, or we're walking into a Burger Doodle, or wherever we're going, right? We'll have God's words to give to people because we've let Him speak His words out of us. I just love that story. I just can't. It just thrills me. And when I get to hear him teach, my goodness alive! Now, here's another place that the word dunamin is used. You know, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 12, it gives the 9 gifts of the Spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit is the working of miracles, the working of dunamin. God attaches praying in the Spirit and getting out beyond our finite mind into the infinite mind of God. He attaches that. It's a miracle. It's a miracle exchange where you can exchange your mind and your limitations for God's unlimited power, unlimited ability, His force and might to do great things in the earth. Well, years earlier I had, in Acts, I'm going to just quote this for you. In Acts 10:38, the word says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, dunamin, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It's pretty fascinating when you look at this, just the exact grammatical form of the word that's used in Ephesians 3:20, just looking up that exact grammatical form, and I'm giving you some of these verses today, to see the significance of praying in the Spirit, praying with other tongues. This is a very significant message that God wants us to get a hold of. Now, years earlier, I was praying just like I had been before, just praying as a part of my daily prayer life, and I had another one of those little mini pictures or images or visions where I saw a little boy, which I knew quite well, and he was playing at the top of the stairs, and he had a bucket on his head. I guess the bucket was his pretend helmet. I don't know. But he was playing and running around, and he fell down the stairs, and his lifeless body was at the bottom of the stairs. Now, this little boy, I had led his mom and dad to Christ, and they named their son, this little boy's named him Mike. Now, they named him Mike because probably they liked the name Michael, but probably maybe a little bit in relationship to me and having led them to Christ. I don't know. All I know is I love this little boy. He falls down the stairs, had this bucket on his head, And then I see in this little vision his lifeless body at the bottom of the stairs with his head off the side like he'd broken his neck. Then his mother coming to the top of the stairs, and she put her hand over her mouth. And that was the end of the vision. Well, once again, I was aware. I had enough awareness that this is something that I didn't want to happen, and that God wouldn't be showing. He's showing me something. He doesn't want it to happen. So I prayed again. I don't know, this time it was maybe 45 minutes. The last time, the previous time, was maybe a little over an hour. I don't know. It was about 45 minutes. I'm praying in spirit once again until I had a note of victory. Knew it was, I'd done what the Holy Spirit wanted done. Didn't think another thing of it till one day I was sitting in a service next to his little boy's mom, and the speaker, the preacher, told a story about his brother working in the oil fields of West Texas, and how he was carrying a gas can from one place to another, and there was an explosion, and because he had this gas can in his hand, he blew up and he was dead. And he prayed it through, this preacher prayed it through, and that event actually happened where there was an explosion. He was carrying the gas can, it blew up, but his shirt was singed and his face was slightly soot, you know, with soot in it, but he was fine. And so after the service was over, she said, "Michael, isn't that remarkable?" And then I had an unction to go ahead and tell her the experience that I had in praying for her son. I told her, you know what was interesting is as I was telling her this story, she had the same expression that she had in the vision at the top of the stairs. She put her hand over her mouth. She said, "Michael, that really happened. Just like you said, he was playing at the top of the stairs, bucket over his head. He fell on the stairs. I looked down the stairs. I was terrified. And all of a sudden, he just got up and continued playing." Oh my gosh. Isn't God incredible? And it's the Holy Spirit this is something that you and I can do all day long, where we can pray in the Spirit. Pray. How else are you going to pray without ceasing? I mean, you know, you're going to have mental prayers everywhere you go all the time. But boy, you can be talking to one of your kids and be praying in the Spirit. And I've got to go out to the beach. I thought, man, I can always pray in my prayer closet. I'm going out to the beach and praying in the Spirit. So I went out to the beach yesterday and started walking on the beach praying in the Spirit. But to know that we can, and all the people all around me, they don't know what's going on. All I know is I was having church on the inside, man. Glory to God, looking at nature. Praying in the Spirit, we can do that anytime. Another time I was praying in spirit, so the same family, and I had these words kind of filter up on the inside of me. They had a daughter, and the words was, "Satan is going to make a vow for your daughter." It was like, it was a word to the parents. I didn't even know what vow meant. I had to look up vow to see what it even meant. And it means, but that's what came up to me. And it means to strive for victory or superiority. It's like Satan was going to strive to get victory and superiority over their daughter. Well, in this case, I felt led to share that with him. Now, here's the rest of the story. This little girl, she's the cutest little blonde-haired girl you ever could see. I mean, she's like one of these little girls that you just got to pick up and hug and squeeze and shower with kisses. Kind of like Gary talks about his little lily cakes, if you've ever seen her. I mean, she's like one of them, too. Well, evidently, some teenage boy thought she was the cutest little thing too, and he didn't do it in a godly way. And so she got pregnant at like 14 or 15 years old, and that was hard. It was hard for her, hard for mom and dad, but this word had come forth years earlier, and I had given it to them, and I said, I prayed until I had a note of victory over it, and I can, you know, give it to you guys for what it's worth, and can just pray and convert. God's going to look over, over for your daughter and so forth. Well, I was so proud of them. They took the boy and they tried to create an atmosphere where the girl and the boy could develop a relationship at a young age and do properly court. And that never got off the ground, though. That never took off. But they ended up building an apartment the side of their house so that she could raise the baby, and they would be there real handy to help. And she went on to college and got her degree, and mom and dad, grandpa, the two that I had led to Christ, they'd helped her along those lines. She graduates from school, meets the nicest, godliest Christian young man. They get married. When they're at their wedding, after they're married, he invites the little girl to come up their little daughter that she had gotten pregnant. You know, they invite the girl and adopted her as her own little daughter, as a part of the wedding. It was a beautiful scene. Well, just a few months ago, I get an invitation to the wedding, because then the little girl ended up graduating from a Christian school, and now she's going to be married, so I get an invitation to the wedding. Once again, the expression of the Holy Spirit to love the people, you, to love the people of God. And that's what he wants to do. I used to speak on goal setting the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's when I pastored. And I was going to speak that. I get a chance to speak between Christmas and New Year's. I was talk to God's people about goal setting. And he interrupted me with this. You know, it's okay to be interrupted by the Holy Ghost. But I want to say to you, I want you to think in terms of your goals for 2014 and what kind of a goal you'll set for your prayer life. If normally you're able to average maybe 3-4 hours a week of prayer, what if you up that 10% and you were able to add a little bit more prayer and maybe a little bit more throughout the year? What would that mean to Immokalee when God's words are being spoken out by God's people? What could that mean? How many more people will get born again? How many more Christians will be spared from a crisis because of you allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you? Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Let me look at my time here, because I don't want to go so long that you don't want me to come back on another day. We don't want this guy coming back. He talks too long. All right. You know, let me share a few more things. You got a few more minutes? Okay. The New York Times and ABC News on Nightline both reported a story from researchers from the University of Pennsylvania. They used imaging techniques to track changes in blood flow in people's brains when they spoke in tongues compared to their known language. Now, and here's what they found. The thinking and willful part of the brain was quiet, along with the language center of the brain. Medical doctor Andrew Newberg said this: the subject's sense of self, it's like it was taken over by something else. That was his conclusion. Other studies suggest this: that people who speak in tongues rarely suffer from mental problems. This was a study of 1,000 evangelical Christians. It shows that they're more emotionally stable. Now, I'm not talking about people who've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and have spoken in tongues, and then they've gone about their merry little way and never allow the dunamen to be released from them very much the rest of their life. But people who regularly, it's a part of their life, more emotionally stable. I don't know, I'm a candidate for being more emotionally stable. You know, I'm all for that. And Dr. Peterson, another medical doctor, did some research. And he said the brain releases two chemical secretions that are directed into our immune system, giving a 35 to 40% boost to the immune system, triggered from a part of the brain that has no other apparent activity in humans and is only activated by praying in the spirit. So, you increase the chances of the Holy Spirit leading you into all truth and showing you things to come. You are doing the very activity that can cause you to experience a love that passes knowledge. You are enabling yourself to have a better immune system, and you are allowing God to speak through you in such a way where the way you would speak with your known language is shut off, but this is like something else takes you over. I'm a candidate for something else called God taking me over anytime. I'm going to quote a couple of the verses, tell a couple of the stories, and then we'll be through. In Luke 9, This word says he called the 12 together and gave them power, dunamen, and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Luke 10:19, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, dunamen, of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. This is a pretty cool word that God uses in a variety of some very significant verses. Now, Gary tells a story, I don't even, maybe he's never told it here, but of when I got the call from the Baptist deacons that had gone over to cast the devil out of one of their members, a woman that was possessed, and the man called and or oppressed. All I know is the woman took two of the four Baptist deacons and threw them off the wall. 95-pound lady. She threw two of them. After the second one was thrown off the wall, they decided to call me because they had heard that I had experience with casting out devils. When I heard that she threw the two men off the wall, I wasn't so sure that I needed to continue to practice that. I decided it would be wise for me to pray, give up a meal or whatever I might need to do to prepare before going over there. So I went over there, Gary and some of the other guys in our Bible study. Now, keep in mind, they're just newly saved. I hadn't been saved but a year and a half before them, but we're all pretty new in the things of God, but I had had a lot of experience along these lines in the prison ministry. So we went over there, and as soon as I walked in her house, she immediately just perked up and she said, "Get that man out of my house." And she's just cursing and swearing, "Get that man out of my house." And as I walked over close to her, she's cursing me and telling her husband to get this man out of her house. And I laid hands on her and, halfway thinking, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to get thrown off the wall? I got to be honest with you. I mean, I'm still, even though I had some experience, I mean, everything's new. Everything, you don't ever do the same thing the same way twice when you're working for God. It's like everything is just a new and unique day every time. And so I lay hands on her and I'm being as bold and as full of God as I know how to be and rebuking the devil. And about a minute later, she just goes limp on the couch. So I'm thinking, well, this is better than me going off the wall. Better for her to go limp on the couch, right? So, and I'm thinking, okay, I didn't get thrown off the wall. This is going to go quickly, and we're going to have a good story to share in the future, in Immokalee sometime in the future. And but no, every 5 minutes, this woman is perking up and letting out this railing of curses and looking at me with the most evil, horrifying looks, like she's going to kill me or something. And as she did that, then I would once again, the same, speak to it, and she'd once again grow limp. But this kept going on and on. Every 5 minutes, she perks up, curses some more. I lay hands, and I'm rebuking this, and nothing seems to be changed. Well, after a while, Gary and the other guys that came up with me, they didn't know it was going to be a long all-day ordeal. They had other plans and other things they had to do. And I don't mean that. They had a schedule. They had other work that they were doing that day. So they left. So I'm still there with the lady and her husband. And so I continue on for a while, same behavior. Then she starts to run out the house. And her husband was close to the front door. I said, "Block the front door." So he blocks the front door. So she's cursing at him too for not letting her run out of the house. So she runs in the bedroom. So I ran in the bedroom with this woman. The husband's right there, right? She jumps up on her bed, so I position myself so I could lay hands on her in the bed. Once again, she goes limp on the bed. A few minutes later, she decides she's going to run out of the bedroom. She goes back to the couch. So I run back to the couch with her. I'm laying. I finally just said to the husband, I said, "I'd like to take some time alone with God." For a few minutes. "Why, I'm going to go in the other room. Do you have another room?" "Yes, you can go in the other room." "I'm going to go in the other room, and I just want to be alone with God. I want to talk to God about your wife, So I go in the other room, and I sit there, and I'm about ready to start crying, because, this isn't the way it happened in the New Testament. Jesus did this stuff, and it happened fast, I know I'm not Jesus, but, Jesus has to do the best he can with what he has to work with. At least I showed up, right? I was there. So I prayed for a few minutes, and I said to God, I said, all right, God, I'm not leaving until this woman is set free, because I don't want to get to heaven someday and have you speak to me like you spoke to the disciples when they couldn't cast the devil out of the lunatic boy in Matthew 17, I think it is. But I do need to know what I need to know that I don't know to get her set free. You know, I would like to go home sometime. And just as clear as could be, not a voice or anything, you know, most of the time I'm aware of things. It's not like I hear great voices or anything and so forth. I just knew that I was supposed to go in the other room, sit down in the easy chair, and pray in other tongues. Calmly pray in other tongues. And I also felt an unction to not even pay any attention when she would get up and curse and swear. I'd already broken the power of the devil off of her, all right? I'd already done that. What needed to happen now is to keep myself built up upon my most holy faith. I didn't know that when he told me to do that. I thought that through later. Because so I'm not saying that praying in the Spirit casts out devils. You cast out devils with the Word. I'd already spoken the Word. But this is how I was to proceed. So I went, sat in her easy chair, prayed in the Spirit, just like clockwork, pretty much. Every 5-6 minutes, she'd get up and curse at me and so forth. I just sat there calmly, just praying in the Spirit. All I know is at 6:55, she sits up. I'm waiting for her to curse and swear. She looks at me with the most tender, loving look on her face and said two words, I'm free. Oh my gosh, that wonderful words. Her husband started crying. She started crying. I started crying. We had a group hug in the middle of the room. Then we went out to Burger Doodle and had burgers and celebrated, you know, this long deliverance that was almost 4 hours. And it's good that she was so excited about her deliverance, she wanted to come and clean our house. And I said, no, that's not necessary, you know. But I knew on the inside when she insisted, I knew that this was something she wanted to do. To express her, that was the way she could express her gratitude. I get a call from her son, I got a letter from her son thanking me for giving him his mother back. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. She started coming to our Bible study. It was good that she did, because a little bit later, I had another problem with her, because she, there was somebody, she had been abused as a child and would not forgive the person. And I was spoke on forgiveness one night in the Bible study, and she heard that. She said, I will not. She snarled up, and we had to deal with something right there again. So, but I tell you the story to tell you the power and the significance of praying in other tongues. I got a whole list of stories like that I could tell you of the significance of praying in other tongues, praying in the Spirit. I just encourage you folks for 2014. The Bible says that when we pray in the Spirit, we give thanks well. And we're supposed to enter His courts with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. In everything we're to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're to rejoice in the Lord always. The best way to rejoice in the Lord always and to give thanks is to pray in other tongues. We're giving thanks well when we do that. All in 2014, you can give thanks well, day in and day out, day in and day out. And get yourself to get beyond this whole idea of walking in the love walk. Give yourself that power, that dunamin shot in the arm. It's shot in the Spirit, shot in the brain, shot in the heart, shot everywhere, for you to be able to get beyond trying to make everybody fit. It's like one of the things that God showed me about the miracle exchange, about being crucified with life, or crucified with Christ, is it's like He was said, son, you don't love the world because the world makes sense. I don't love the world because the world makes sense. It doesn't make sense. You love the world because you love the people in the world because I am love, and you are love. God was saying to me, I'm love, because I am a manifestation of Christ in the earth today. It's Jesus living his life. It's right there in Galatians 2:20. Christ lives his life through you. Once you let that ego person, that ego self, die and get off the throne, Christ can live through you. And love passes knowledge. People don't have to make sense. People are people. Your wife, your husband, they're who they are. Your kids are who they are. But you can love them into a place where they can experience more of what God has for them, just as you let the love of God shine through you. And the way you do that is to allow God to pray beyond the knowledge of your brain and your mental faculties and your reasoning and your logic. And then all of the supernatural things that can happen as you allow yourself to pray in the Spirit day in and day out, how many more people will be won to Christ in Immokalee because you decide to maybe double your praying in the Spirit in 2014? How many more people will be baptized in the Holy Spirit because of the stories that cultivate in your life as a result of this? How many good things can happen in a congregation where everybody does? Can you imagine a whole congregation here, this entire congregation, doubling their praying in the Spirit in 2014? What's that going to do? I don't know, but it's going to be good, whatever it is. Amen? All right, let's stand. Praises be to God. Words. Do you know for an absolute fact that you're going to go to heaven when you die? I didn't when I met Zig Ziglar, but he gave me words whereby I was able to be born again. If you are in position to be one who's ready to be born again, you're ready to give your life to Christ, you want to start off 2014 knowing for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die, will you just right where you're at, let's just lift up your hand and say, yes, Pastor Mike, will you pray for me? Please pray for me. I want to know for sure I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've never been born again, and today you want to be born again. You want to give your life to Christ. I'm going to ask you to come down here in just a few minutes, and I want you to come on down. I want to pray with you that very simple prayer. And today you can be born again. If you're in this place and you hear me talking about praying in the Spirit, praying with other tongues, and all the good that comes as a result of it, and you say, I want that. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want to be able to speak with other tongues. Would you lift up your hand? You've never spoken in tongues, and you want to today. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues today. For the first time, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So on either one of those accounts, if you raised your hand on either one, you want to be born again, you want to be filled with the Spirit, will you take the next big step and just come out? The people that are around you, they'll excuse you. Just come on out and come right down here and just stand in the front by the stairs here. And let me pray for you so that you can experience the new birth today, born into the kingdom of God. You can experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and speak with other tongues today. Will you just respond now with the rest of the saints, just praying softly in the Spirit for God's people in this room to experience what God has for them? Thank you, Lord. Now, you may have misunderstood, those of you who did raise your hands, but don't just stand there. If you've never been born again, you've never given your life to Christ, now's the time for you to respond. Now is the day to not be ashamed to admit your need for Christ to be born into his kingdom, to not be afraid to admit, okay, I'm a candidate, Michael, I'm one. I've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I've never spoken with other tongues. And I want to today. Would you respond and come on down? Just come out from where you're standing and come on and have us just stand right in front of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And one other opportunity, if you're here today and you have experienced some kind of, you're not feeling well in any way, sick in body, pain in your body, discomfort, I want you to also respond and come on down. So on all three of those accounts, right now, I want you to go ahead and respond and come on down here. And then when I come to you to pray for you, you can let me know which area to focus on for you. Thank you, Father.
I want to ask you before you leave here today that you consider blessing Michael with something from the Family Prayer Center of Immokalee. And he just came down just to minister. He never asked for anything in particular. But let's just ask the Lord what he'd have us to give this morning and to bless him. Because I believe that once you sow into this ministry, you're sowing into something really, really pure. How many of you sense that we've really experienced something very pure this morning? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, right now, we thank you that we have this opportunity to sow into something so wonderful, something so pure. Jesus, we ask you to speak to these hearts and that, Lord, the giving will be in that manner in Jesus' name. If you're making out a check, just make it to the Family Prayer Center. We'll make sure he gets it all, even today before he leaves. So, amen. God bless you. And we have a basket up here. And as you're leaving today, please consider putting something in there. All right, Tuesday night at 8:30, we'll see you. That'll be our midweek service, and then we won't have anything else until the following Sunday. Okay, God bless you. Right? Can we stand together? You're blessed, and just bring this forward. Amen. We'll see you Tuesday night.